بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين نبينا وحبيبنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. أما بعد، اليوم الخامس من شهر ربيع الثاني 1446، الموافق للثامن من شهر أكتوبر 2024، نواصل درسنا في هذا الكتاب المبارك رياض الصالحين. أسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يبارك فينا وفيما نتعلمه، وأن يغفر لنا الزلات ويغفر للمؤلف ويرفع درجته في العليين. So بإذن واحد الأحد, we continue from where we stopped last درس. And if you remember, we were talking about a hadith of قيس ابن بشر التغلبي. قال أخبرني أبي وكان جليسا لأبي الدرداء قال وكان بدمشق رجل من أصحاب النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم يقال له سهل بن الحنظلية سهل ابن الحنظلية وكان رجلا متوحدا قل ما يجالس الناس. So if you remember, this man said he was there in Dimashq together with his father, and his father is one of those who sit and study and learn from Abu Darda, the companion of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he mentioned about the man called Sahal ibn al-Hanzaliyah. And if you remember, it is mentioned that this man doesn't mix with people, rarely mix with others. He always be alone. And when he passed through Abu Darda, if you remember, Abu Darda asked him, saying that kalimatan tanfa'una wa la tadurruk, please tell us something that will benefit us and you will not be harmed by sharing that statement with us. So I guess we reach a place where he asked him, when he passed through them in one of the days, qala kalimatan tanfa'una wa la tadurruk. قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم نعم الرجل خريم الأسدي لولا طول جمته وإسبال إزاره. So when he passed, the man told him, please tell us a word that will benefit us and you will not be harmed by sharing that word with us. He said, I heard the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said نعم الرجل خريم الأسدي. And a ni'ma ar-rajul is a praise. It's like you are telling you that this is an excellent person. He says, Khuraym al-Asadi, ni'ma ar-rajul, lawla tuli jummatihi wa isbal izarihi. If he can stay away from prolonging, I mean making his hair long. Jumma is the hair. And so the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, if not because of this, and also wa isbal izarihi, and he wears a garment and let it go below the ankles. He said, if not because of these two things that he needs to change, he will be a ni'ma ar-rajul, an excellent person. Again, so the hadith is a support, you know, for the topic designed by Imam An-Nawawi about al-qasdu fil izar. When you wear things, you should make them above your ankle. So somebody, if you remember, فَلَمَّا بَلَغَ خُرَيْمًا فَعَجَّلَ فَأَخَذَ شَفْرَةً فَقَطَعَ بِهَا جُمَّتَهُ إِلَىٰ أُذْنِهِ وَرَفَى إِزَارَهُ إِلَىٰ أَنصَافِ سَاقِهِ. So somebody told Khurayman about what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said. So immediately he took a knife and cut the hair short. Yeah. Leaving the hair longer, if the culture of a person, you know, accepts that, he's fine. As long as the person is not being portrayed as a woman. Yeah, when it makes a person look like a sister, then he has to cut it off. Enough. He has to cut it short to come back to his original nature. Right? Because imitating a woman is haram in Islam. Just like the way imitating a man by the woman is haram in Islam. Everyone should remain in the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, sometimes he used to keep his hair longer, up to the ears or to the shoulder also sometimes. But they said this is not all the time. Sometimes he does that. You get it? So the best person is to follow the place where he lives in. And also to look into the matter and stay away from things which might put doubt, you know, on him. Again, this is really necessary. But there are some of the younger ones, when they hear that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to make his hair long, and they do. And they're living in a place where making hair longer in those areas resembles certain types of people who are not wanted by the community. You get the idea? So the community is going to look at you as if you're one of them, and they shouldn't be blamed. Yeah, man tashabbaha biqawmin fahuwa minhum. Whoever looks like a people, he is one of them, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said. Exactly, inshallah. So when you live in a community, people are not doing this, don't be so different from others. You get the idea? Yeah? Let's say in UAE, you don't see usually people like this, right? So if somebody comes and do it in the UAE community, he should be reminded to cut his hair short. That's better for him. You get it? In Islam, Allah doesn't like libas al-shuhra. Libas al-shuhra means you dress in, or you make yourself in a way people recognize you. You're the only one in the community who's doing this. Islam doesn't like this. That's why, what is the national dress here? Baju Malay, right? Luckily in KL, people wear everything. But Islamically, if you're living in a kampung where everyone is wearing this, it's wrong for you to come with your own culture and be different. You have to buy one that looks like the people in the community. Actually, it's not even good for you to look different. You know, if people are looking for you, it's very easy. The one who is doing we recognize you. Islam doesn't want this. And also, it's a sign of what? It's unity among the ummah of Islam. We call it libas shura. It doesn't matter whether it is expensive or cheap. It doesn't matter. Libas shura could be something that is very, very poor in quality, actually. But you don't use anything except that one. Right? So Islam loves unity. As long as that unity is not based on haram thing, not based on something that is against the religion of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Islam loves unity. To remove differences among the believers. Is that clear? So when you have your hair longer, you know, coming down, if the community where you are living in are not for this, it's better for you to cut it off. Because there is no place, to my knowledge, where the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ever advised us to do that. But he does sometimes. What was the reason why he was doing? Wallahu alam. Maybe he did not find time to. You know, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam 24/7 busy. Maybe he couldn't find time to cut it. But he took care of it. So it's halal for a person to take it, to make it long, as long as the community, you know, tolerates that. So he said he took the knife and cut it, and also cut the pants to go below, above the ankle. قال ثم مر بنا يوما آخر فقال له أبو الدرداء كلمة تنفعنا ولا تضرك قال سمعت رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم يقول إنكم قادمون على إخوانكم فأصلحوا رحالكم وأصلحوا لباسكم حتى تكونوا كأنكم شامة في الناس فإن الله لا يحب الفحش ولا التفحش. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, the man passed them. This is the last moment. When he passed Abu Darda, Abu Darda told him, please, kalimatan tanfa'una wa la tadhurruk, please share with us a word that will benefit us and you will not get harmed. I love this way and this approach, you know, because sometimes you might be sharing, trying to benefit others, but you get yourself into trouble. Yeah, it's better to cool down until the time you will not get into trouble, and the one that you are telling the thing to him also will benefit from that word. So he said, "Tanfa'una wa la tadhurruk," something that will benefit us and you will not be harmed by saying it to us. He says, I heard the Prophet ﷺ was telling us, "Innakum qadimuna ala ikhwanikum," you're going to meet your brothers. So most likely this is after one of the battles. The Prophet ﷺ tell them, you are about to meet your brothers there in Medina. He said, "Fa'aslihu rihalakum wa fa'aslihu rihalakum wa aslihu libasakum." He said, before you reach them, fix your your animals. I mean, the thing that you are sitting on, not necessarily saddle, but whatever animals you are riding, you know, fix it. And fix your clothes. Look neat and good. Look neat and good before you reach home. SubhanAllah, this is a very good sunnah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam loves when a person is coming back to his family to come in a very neat way, especially those people who have families. Yeah. It's not good for you to come to your family unexpectedly. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to send actually somebody to go and inform the people of Medina about their arrival. Is it necessary for them to know that we are coming? Yes, it is. You went out of your family, you spent 2, 3, 4, 5 days. You know, in your house, you have things which you don't like in the house.
True.
And your wife has been very, very careful to make sure that she doesn't mess up life between you and her. Right? When does she have freedom to live life according to her terms? When you are not around. Right? So she lived life according to her terms, and that's okay. That's okay. So, negligent on things because you're not around, that's fine. But then if you are to come to the house unexpectedly, without informing her, what are you going to see? You're going to see a disoriented person, and the house is scattered. Sometimes you wish you went back to the place where you came from. And then get annoyed. Why didn't you fix this? Why didn't you do this and that? Whose fault was that? Is she Rabbul Alameen to know the ghaib, whether you're coming or not? She's not. So that's why Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, don't come at night without informing your family. He said, send them a message that you're on the way, so that the one who's not clean will prepare herself to meet her husband in a nice way. They clean the house. They make it neat in the way you will come and enjoy being with your family. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told them, you fix yourself before you reach your family. Be neat. If you can take shower, wear the nicest clothes before you meet them. You get it? Because they also need what you need. Abdullah ibn Umar said, I used to adorn myself, wash myself properly. He said, for the sake of my wife. He said, because the same thing I'm looking from her, she's also looking for the same thing. Do you get the idea? Yeah, because some of the brothers, they took shower when the rain comes. These people who did with the court, recently somebody who was witnessing a case. This is recent case and true case, real case. The wife was, this is almost similar to what happened in the time of Umar radiallahu anhu. This woman brought her husband and she told Umar, I want divorce. And she was, bringing him to Umar. She said, I don't want him. I just want divorce. Umar radiallahu anhu looked at him. You see a man, a'udhu billahi min shaitanir rajim. When was the last time he took shower? Allahu a'lam. He told him, what is this? And then he told the wife, please, you go somewhere, come back to me after. He gave her time, he said, come back to me after this. When she left, Umar blamed him. And he told him, what's wrong with him? What is this? Why can't you wash yourself? And then he told one of the brothers there, please help him. Since he's not closer to his house, help him to take shower. And they mentioned that the man went and he took shower, cleaned himself, wore a nice clothes. SubhanAllah, he came different person. When the wife came, that's the interesting part. When the wife came, Umar asked her, where's your husband? She couldn't find him. She has to search for him. And he was there next to her. When I was reading this story, I said, maybe this is the first time in her life she saw this man like this. And SubhanAllah, according to that story, when she managed to recognize him, she told Umar, I retrieve back my claim. She told him, let's go back home. SubhanAllah. So this recent case that I was informed about very recently, The woman also took the husband to the court, and the complaint is, he doesn't take shower in his life. She said she doesn't like it. So the judge asked him, you don't take shower? He said, no, I do. But I used to go to the river, I think. So the judge was telling him, are you a frog or what? Anyway, so this is also one of the sunan that we do from we got from the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that the same way you want your wife to be looking good, she also is looking for you to have the same manners and attitude. Otherwise, you shouldn't blame her, although this what she's doing is wrong. But when she stretch her eyes and look at others, you're going to complain. Why is she looking at others? What she's supposed to be finding at home, which will close her eyes, she couldn't get it from the husband. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the best in this regard. He wallah, the best in this regard. And then the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, they mentioned that kana nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam yakrah an tushamma minhu raihatan kariha. One of the worst moments the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam hates to be in is to let somebody smell from him bad smell. When the Prophet ﷺ realizes that there is something coming from him which is unwanted. That's why they said natural smell of the Prophet ﷺ is excellence, like perfume, fragrance. And at the same time, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't take chances. That's why he doesn't eat onion. Raw onion, the Prophet ﷺ doesn't eat. He said, Inni unaji man la tunaju. He said, I meet those who you don't meet. Who are these ones? Angels. He says, angels also get harmed. Halal to eat, makruh to eat it, but it's not haram. The Prophet ﷺ doesn't eat it. And he says, whoever eat onion, the raw onion or garlic, shouldn't come to our masajid. Onion, if somebody smells it, does it harm your health? It disturbs your mood, right? But it doesn't harm your health. What do you think about somebody who smoke a lot of cigarette and come to the masjid and all the things come to you? If that one is prohibited for him to come to the masjid, this should be rejected more. And with all the harms that it contains, you know, subhanAllah, still you have some people who are not willing to take care of their health. The Prophet ﷺ and his time, when somebody eat onion and come to the masjid, they used to take them to the maqbara, quburan. Came to the masjid one day and he smells garlic or onion. He says, who ate this one? The man said, ha ana da Rasulullah. Qal tallahu ila al-maqbara. Send him to the graveyard. One of our scholars was explaining, why did he ask them to take him to the graveyard? He said, because he wanted him to understand that he doesn't deserve to live with the living ones. Because in the graveyard, you can eat 10,000 kgs of onion, they will never get harmed. But you cannot eat any kind of onion which smells and come to the masjid and harm others. Wallah, in some masajid, you have to have perfume and put on your mustache to make sure that you pray comfortably. But we didn't do that. When somebody does that, the Prophet ﷺ asked him to pray at home, not to harm anyone. So he told them, فَأَصْلِحُوا رِحَالَكُمْ وَأَصْلِحُوا لِبَاسَكُمْ حَتَّى تَكُونُوا كَالشَّامَّةِ. The Prophet ﷺ said, I want you to be, subhanAllah, it's just like a mark. You know, like shamma is an alama, a sign. Something that makes you different from others. Meaning, you look good. Ashad Abdul Qais, when he came together with his people to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and then his people left to go and see the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ashad said, I will not go. I want to fix myself first. I cannot meet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam like this. His people are rushing. They want to meet the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and that's good. But subhanAllah, his method is the best. He did not go to the Prophet ﷺ, he stayed behind, he washed himself, wore the nicest clothes, and went and met the Prophet ﷺ. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam met him, and he saw him, and he knew about the reason why he was late, he told him, إِنَّ فِيكَ خَصْلَتَيْنِ. He said, يُحِبُّهُمَ اللَّهُ الْحِلْمُ وَالْأَنَاهُ. He says, you have two attitudes, two good manners that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala really loves. Patience and also al-ana. Ana means doing things calmly, slowly, not rushing and doing things. We learn from this that what he did was excellent. He's going to meet the best and the highest position in terms of human ranking, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He doesn't want to meet him in that way. He fixed himself first, and he got this virtue from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It is the praise for him that remains until the day of judgment. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُحِبُّ الْفُحْشَ وَالْتَفَحْشَ. Al-fuhsh is anything that is disgusting, wrong. The scholar said, this hadith shows that looking ugly for the person who can upgrade himself is a kind of fuhsh. You should look good when you're with others. And it is part of the ni'mah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon any one of us that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed his mercy to see the sign of that blessing on him. You're rich and you don't look good. Not to be arrogant, but use the wealth that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave you and pull yourself properly. Allah loves to see this, the sign of his ni'mah on you. That's why the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is interesting. He doesn't do takalluf, but he goes with the best he can get. No takalluf in his life, no exaggeration, but he goes with the best he can ever get. Allah grant us good and tawfiq. قال وعن أبي سعيد الخدري قال قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إزرة المسلم إلى نفس الساق إلى نفس الساق ولا حرج أو لا جناح فيما بينه وبين الكعبين فما أسفل من الكعبين فهو في النار ومن جر إزاره بطرا لم ينظر الله إليه. Abu Sayyid al-Khudri said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the izar, or the pants, of a believer is up to half of his shin. However, there is no problem if you take it down up to the kaabain, the ankles. وَمَا أَسْفَلَ مِنَ الْكَعْبَيْنِ فَهُوَ فِي النَّارِ. Whatever goes below the ankle, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, it will be placed in hell. وَمَنْ جَرَّ إِزَارَهُ بَطَرًا لَمْ يَذِرُ اللَّهُ إِلَيْهِ. And if somebody does that out of arrogance, Allah will not look at him on the day of judgment. Nadharat rahmah. That hadith in Sahih Muslim, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, three people Allah will not talk to them. Al-musbil izarahu, wal-mannan, wal-munafiqu, aw munfiqu silatahu bil-halif al-kadhib. We talked about it earlier. He says three people Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not speak to them. Al-musbil izarahu, ay khuyala. The one who is dragging his pant below the ankle, Allah will not speak to him, Allah will not look at him, Allah will not purify him. And the one who sells his good through false oath, you know, swearing. Uqsimu billah, I swear by Allah, I bought it at this price, and he is lying. Wal mannan, and the one who is showing off, harming people, you know, because of the charity he gave them. These people, they will not receive mercy from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah grant us good and ability to follow the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and also to maximize our patience. Be on the safe side all the time. You know, don't put yourself into trouble when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala because of the dunya. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with all of us. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Okay. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Wassalatu wassalamu ala al-mu'uthi rahmatin lil alamin nabiyyina wa habibina Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallim. Amma ba'd. The first question is about hijab, since we talk about not being different from the people in the community for the sisters. Hijab is known. The way the scholars describe it, it remains like that. covered in every part that the Sharia calls awrah, with something that is loose, not transparent, not thick, and also not the one that will bring the eyes of brothers to her. Allah says, قُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنِينَ غُضُّوا مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ وَقُلْ لِلْمُؤْمِنَاتِ غُضُضْنَ مِنْ أَبْصَارِهِمْ. It is my personal advice to look into, for every brother and sister, to look at these principles and points or conditions mentioned by Rabbul Alameen or mentioned by our scholars for the hijab, to make sure that your hijab is based on this. You get it? Your hijab is based on this. Everyone knows how to judge themselves, whether what they're doing is right or wrong. So I just give you the conditions, you just apply them correctly. The next question is about naming the child. The best name, yeah, there are certain names mentioned by the questioner. Some of them I cannot pronounce them. I don't know what exactly it means or how to pronounce them, but I give you general advice. Yeah? Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said the best name is Abdullah or Abdurrahman. And any name that has good meaning, because it is the right of your child to receive good name from you, is wrong for you. It's an offense actually against our children for us to give them bad names or the name that will make people making fun of them. That's why you don't go to the Quran and just open and just pick up any word and just call your child that one. That's wrong. The boy or the girl are going to grow up in the future and people will be laughing at them. Do you get it? If you are in a place where people understand the language you're using, your language, no problem. Have any name that has good meaning according to your language or according to the Arabic language and go with that. Avoid name that will bring tragedy or negative comment against your child in the future. Get it? So the best name is Abdullah or Abdurrahman. And any name that is good, names of the companions, names of the family members of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is good to swim in the house of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You get it? But it's up to you. As long as the name is good, it has good meaning. Yeah, because you have to know that name has impact on the named person. You get it? It has impact on the named person. I still remember a brother who told us that he lived in a city where his friends are always inviting him to go and commit sins with them. He said the reason why he is not joining, it is because of his name. He said whenever he remembers his name, he refuses to go. His name is Muslims. Whenever he remembers this, he said that's the only thing that is preventing me to join them. Is that clear? So give your child a good name. It will help him in the future. Whenever he wants to do something wrong, he will say, oh, my name is this and that. That's protection for them. Yeah, that's why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to change bad names and names that contain praise for those people who are named those names. He used to change them. Sayyid ibn Musayyib, his grandfather met the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked him, what is your name? Qala Huzn. Huzn means sadness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam changed it to him. He said, no, how can you call yourself sadness? You change it. So he gave him another suggestion. The man said, no, I will not change a name given to me by my father. He refused to change. SubhanAllah, his grandson, Sayyid ibn Musayyib, used to say that most likely this is the reason why our family are mostly sad. People are sad. قال فما زالت فينا الحزون. Say, look at the family, people are sad. This one's sad, this one's sad. He said, I wish my grandfather changed. Maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring good, you know, to that family because of that name. So when you have a child, please try, name him a good name, Muslim name, or any name that is good and it has good meaning. Let him be proud of his name in the future and not invite people to make fun of him.
Wearing the pants below the ankles due to ignorance.
Whatever a person does out of ignorance, as long as it is possible for somebody like him to be ignorant, meaning he doesn't have access to the scholars, he is not going to be held responsible. However, as long as, I mean, as soon as you know the correct way to make it, then you have to change immediately, you know. And the last question is about having a simple life. This one I think we should delay to the next class, bi-idhnillah, Azza wa Jalla. May Allah grant you good and tawfiq and be with you wherever you are. Innahu bi kulli jameelin kafeel. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdik. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.